This is In Focus, the weekly public affairs program from KTBB and the Team Sports Radio, featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to In Focus. I'm Roger Gray, and very pleased to welcome Andrea Wilson to the program, who is the executive director of PATH, People Attempting to Help. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you with us, of course. I know you've done this before, but at any rate, I appreciate it. And I just learned something. PATH is middle-aged now. PATH turns 40 this year.
40 years old this year. It's an exciting time to be part of PATH.
Yeah. Give me an overview. If you had to summarize what PATH is all about,
yeah.
What do you guys do in a very large nutshell?
Well, you know, PATH is a locally founded, locally funded nonprofit that works to alleviate poverty and prevent homelessness to folks right here in East Texas. Mm-hmm. And we do that through a series of programs like our food pantry, mm-hmm. or homeless prevention through rent and utility assistance. We offer vision assistance, dental assistance, prescription assistance. So all of those things culminate mm-hmm. into programs to meet emergency needs.
And I want to get into all of those. How did it start? Whose brainchild was this?
Well, you know, way back in 1984, when PATH was beginning, Mrs.
You know, at my age, way back in 1984 does not compute. I got to tell you, it seems like yesterday.
Well, you know, I was a senior in high school when PATH was getting started. Yeah. And Gertrude Windsor gathered a group of local pastors from mm-hmm. lots of different denominations and local leaders. Mm-hmm. And the lore has it that she said, "Boys, we can do better than this." And I can just imagine a 90-year-old lady letting people know
she was 90 at the time.
We can do better than this.
She was 90?
90 years old. She was feeding people out of the back door of her house over on Chilton and really wanted to address people in a much more dignified manner than that.
Yeah.
That was the birth of PATH. And you know, Roger, I think one of the things that is so impressive to me over the last few years, I've watched the trees in Tyler disappear, right?
Yeah.
And so you plant a new tree that you'll never see shade from. And I think that's what Mrs. Windsor did. She planted mm-hmm. the tree of PATH that she would never see it 40 years later. Yet she had the faith mm-hmm. that this community would step up and provide for those that are less fortunate. And sure enough, we do it every day.
There's so many national organizations that do this kind of thing. You know, you can think of United Way. You can think of, you know, Red Cross and everybody else. But she felt there was a need for something absolutely local.
She did. She felt like there were enough churches and local groups. PATH would serve as a clearinghouse, if mm-hmm. you will, for funds to address our vulnerable population who have crisis that they couldn't plan for, whether that's food or rent or something else. And still 40 years later, we're doing that really well.
Is your fan drive still going on?
We have a fan drive going on right now. You know, it's just mid-July.
Yeah, I wanted to plug that right up front because it's getting hot.
It is really getting hot. And we've been distributing fans at PATH for 7 days. Mm-hmm. And I checked before I left today, and we have distributed over 750 fans in a 7-day period of time.
Wow.
So there's a big need out there. Fans are so critical to keep that air moving for folks who either don't have air conditioning in their house or can't afford to keep it as cool as mm-hmm. it needs to be.
Sadly, if warming continues, it'll be an air conditioner drive because a fan might not do it down the road.
Well, we're right at the point now where we're beginning to run out of fans. Mm-hmm. So we are critical because we haven't even gotten to August yet.
Yeah.
And so it certainly is a time that we need more fans, more dollars to purchase fans because we can do it mm-hmm. in bulk cheaper than you can if you go to a local store.
You worked out a deal with the shelter, the animal shelter.
We did. The animal shelter.
How did that work out?
You know what? It's really exciting. They called us out of the blue and said, "Hey, we've got an idea." Mm-hmm. And what a great idea it was because it helps both of us out. So two donations of a fan to the Tyler Animal Shelter mm-hmm. waives the adoption fee for
okay.
a pet. So that's very exciting. I don't know how many they've collected so far, but last I heard it was over 20, which means that animals are getting adopted. Mm-hmm. And they're taking care of vulnerable folks.
So you come to the animal shelter, bring a couple of box fans, and walk away with a schnauzer or a collie or whatever's
exactly
there.
Right.
Yeah.
What a great idea.
It is a great idea. And I'm guessing when these are delivered, when these are handed out, it becomes a pretty, hate to be hokey, but a heartwarming moment.
You know, one of the most special things that we do, talking about collaborations with mm-hmm. other agencies, is a few years ago, we started partnering with Meals on Wheels. And so we would go alongside a Meals on Wheels delivery driver. Mm-hmm. And while the meal was being delivered, we also delivered a fan.
Wow.
And it was very heartwarming because these are folks who are shut in. Mm-hmm. They don't get a lot of visitors. And it's about so much more than a meal or a fan.
Right.
It's about a connection with somebody so that you let them know that they matter to you. Because, you know, isn't that what's really most important, is letting people know that they're important to
us? Yeah. I mean, well, and you're talking about older folks, disabled folks, folks that don't have a car, can't get out. It's,
yeah.
There's a lot of need out there.
Really special collaboration, so very heartwarming.
How many folks do you serve in this way?
Well, last year we distributed almost 1,200 fans to folks, and so we anticipate that we'll reach that number this year if we get more fan donations, more dollars, so we can buy more fans. Because, like I said, we are running really short. We think we have about 2 days worth of fans left, and we're only halfway through July.
And actually, I gather from what you're saying, a financial contribution would go farther than bringing a fan.
It would, because we do have a
source. Do bring a fan if you want to.
You bet. But we do have a source to be able to purchase fans cheaper than the shelf price that you can get at any local box stores. But we certainly are happy to take deliveries of box fans as well.
Yeah. I didn't know until I was reading on your website. We think about the terrible freeze, you know, a couple of years back. But heat is the number one weather killer, you know, weather-related cause of death.
I mean, you know, you talk to folks who can't afford to turn their air conditioner on or can't afford to repair the air conditioner that's in their home, and you'd be surprised the number of folks who do not have access to central heat and air.
Yeah. And as we all know, it's rough. And it's so cheap to run compared to AC. Yeah.
Oh, that's exactly right. It's just cents on the dollar to run
like
a
10
fan
cents, you know,
compared to AC. And it's life-saving for a senior who needs medications in their home to be at a reasonable temperature, right? And they need the safety of a cool place for sleeping, for resting.
So, all right, before we move to other subjects, if people want to help out, what do they do?
Best way to help out is to go to our website. It is pathhelps.org. Mm-hmm. There is a donate button, and you can designate that for fans, or you can designate it for something else. That's the easiest way to do it. We want to make it as easy as possible for you to help out your neighbors.
Okay. All right. And $25, you say here, will provide a family with a fan.
That is correct. $25 lets you feel like you've helped.
So do it. Do it. Come on. There are people in need here. And it's only going to get hotter. Let's talk about the various areas you help folks out with. Let me start with rent. Now, how do you do this? Where does the funding come? And when we say assist with rent, what are we talking about?
Sure. Rent assistance is probably our most requested service.
Yeah, I bet.
We don't receive any federal funding for rent assistance. Every dollar that is donated to us has been specified either through a family foundation or a grant that we applied for, or individuals who made donations specifically for that. We receive about 600 requests every single month for rent assistance, and we have the funds to be able to help about 10 or 12 of those families. And so we have to really direct that rent to a very specific group of folks who have, under normal circumstances, they're able to pay their rent on their own, but they've hit a pothole. Something has happened that's kept them from being able to pay it this particular month. And so we spend a lot of time vetting these folks. We're not just passing rent assistance out willy-nilly. So we say no a lot more than we say yes, but we're good stewards of those funds that we receive because they are sublimited.
Somebody had to go to the doctor. The car broke down. They had to get it fixed. Or they couldn't go to work.
Yeah, those are
and they're coming up short that month.
That's exactly the stories that we hear. It may be a $400 difference that they have a repair on their car. I don't know anybody who has $400 car repair. Most of them are $1,200 yeah. from what I know. And they don't
get
have
you a
that.
Spark plug, yeah.
They don't have that extra money because, you know, for one reason or another, they've not been able to save that much.
And so they apply, you check the story, you look at the situation, and you decide, you know, yay or nay.
Sure.
And help them
sure.
out.
And there are.
But it's not a permanent situation. I mean, this is not.
It is a one-time rent assistance.
Okay.
And we help folks one time with rent. And so some of the priorities that we have is if you are a family or a veteran with a family, then we prioritize keeping as many people housed as we possibly can.
Yeah.
Because there are lots of folks who meet the criteria of having that car repair or the medical expense, or whatever it may have been. But they must have an eviction notice from the court, so a docket number where they're actually on the verge.
So it has to get to that point, yeah.
It has to get to that
point. You're almost on the street.
That's exactly right. And so that we've had so many requests for help that we really had to drill down to figure out how do we prioritize this, because those are hard conversations to have.
Yeah.
Very hard, because you know somebody who's lost their job and doesn't have any income. Do they need help with rent? Well, absolutely they need help with rent.
Yeah.
But they have no ability to pay their rent the next month either, and we can only help with 1 month.
Yeah.
So we would much rather help them find a different place to live that they can afford rather than to continue to pay rent that is out of their ability to pay on their own.
So you have to be, we hate to say it, but the money is limited as well. You have to be at that crisis point, not just, we're going to be a little short this month, that kind of thing.
Right. This is truly preventing homelessness for families.
Okay.
Because we know that the expense once a person or once a family falls into homelessness is so incredibly high compared to just keeping them in their home. So, the expense in the state of Texas for one family stay in homelessness, whether that is a drain on social services or on other community resources, is $12,000 to $15,000 for every homeless assistance time period. And so if we can stop homelessness with $1,200 rent assistance, then that
you're basically saving money.
Sense.
Yeah,
you bet.
Yeah.
And the trauma that goes along with a family falling into homelessness, with their children are having to change schools or whatever that may be. And so the mental health of the community is much better as a result of us funneling this money to those families who need it the most.
And it's psychological as well. I mean, you talk about children having to explain this at school or explain it to the teacher or the principal. Well, I we're not at that address anymore, that kind of thing. Yeah.
You know, Roger, we have this new program that we started. We've just finished our second year where we're addressing student mobility rates at Clarkston Elementary with rent assistance. We learned that Clarkston Elementary has a 33% mobility rate, meaning 1 in 3 kiddos do not start the school year in August and finish the school year in May on that campus. 1 in 3. And so we worked
because
they've had
their
to
address.
Change schools.
Yeah.
Whether that is an economic reason or a different reason, we have focused funding specifically onto families with first graders at Clarkston Elementary to keep them housed for their entire first grade year. And we were successful. None of the children that we were working with were mobile during that year. We worked with 11 families, which was 42 children, keeping them in place. We worked with them again for their second grade year, and beginning in August, we have enough funding to help them for their third grade year. So we have a cohort of kiddos that we've helped first grade, second grade, and third grade stay at Clarkston Elementary, and the impact that that's making on their educational outcome is way more than rent assistance.
Yeah.
These kids love going to school, their grades are better, they're engaged, and they are happier mentally because they are not hopping around from school to school.
And the hopping around is due to losing your residence, whatever the situation is, having to stay with a relative or whatever.
Or move to a different apartment complex because you couldn't pay the rent in that one.
Right.
So we've stepped in and are paying 30% of the rent for these qualified families for the time period that they are in our program.
And for all the families in the program?
For the 11 families
11.
That are in the program. So we pay 30% of that family's rent, but we don't just pay the rent. client. We come alongside them with case management and teach them financial literacy skills, mm-hmm. teach them the value of education and what mobility does to your children yeah. to help them make some different decisions.
And when you at them. That age particularly, you're developing a cohort of friends and having to change that is rough. I know my wife, when she was younger, her family moved a lot because her dad was an engineer. I mean, sure. it wasn't poverty. It was changing jobs. She said, it's tough. It's tough. You lose all your old friends. You have to make new ones, you know.
Well, you know, and the impact not just to that one child, but to the entire class. The classroom makeup changes so much. If you start out with 20 kids and you lose a third of them sure. throughout the course of the year with new kids coming in and out, it's really hard for them to work together as a class in that yeah. teacher's classroom.
That's tough on the teacher. She has to learn a whole new set of circumstances. You know, every kid is different.
Well, I mean, children have learning disabilities, and just about the time the teacher gets to know whether it's vision or hearing or something else, then mm-hmm. they're on to another class, and so they have to start all over with someone yeah. else. So their educational outcome is severely impacted by the mobility yeah. rate.
Okay, we have them in school. We have them staying in their apartment. We have a fan blowing air on them, but they still have to eat. You offer food assistance as well.
We do. PATH is probably most well known for our food pantry, mm-hmm. since it is what got us started with Mrs. Windsor out of her house on Chilton. We have.
I love that story. I got to tell you,
I did not know that story. So we have a food pantry, and we have about 140 to 150 families mm-hmm. every day that come through our food pantry to get a bag of groceries. It's a choice food pantry, so families choose whatever works best for their family from what we have stocked in our pantry.
Mm-hmm. Where do you get the food?
Well, we purchase the food at the rate of about $15,000 a month from various sources, mm-hmm. primarily the East Texas Food Bank, but we also have lots of other sources that we get it from. But at a cost of $15,000, it is one of our most expensive programs to operate, but very impactful.
Now, we have talked to the food bank before and gotten communications from them. Everybody's being hit with these budget cuts. Are you guys being affected yet?
We are. We are seeing the trickle-down effect from the food bank
yeah.
that are being, and the cuts to SNAP that have just been, mm-hmm. we haven't seen the full effect of those, but we will by an increase of numbers of people who are coming for our services, mm-hmm. as well as a decrease of the types of food that we're able to choose when we shop at the food bank.
What is it do to you when your budget has to be cut, when the help is not there as much?
You know, most critical to PATH is that we feed people. And so we're going to feed people. We're going to feed them at the rate that we are comfortable with. They know it's healthy, good choices. Mm-hmm. And so the cut is going to come somewhere else. It's going to come from us being able to do less of something else. Because our food pantry is our number one priority mm-hmm. to fund.
Sure.
Because we know that that's what brings people in our door. And only when they come in our door and they meet one-on-one with a caseworker are we able to get to know them and form a relationship that allows us to help in a different way? Mm-hmm. The food pantry is really just serving the line of people who are waiting at our front door. But our housing program is what is going to shorten the line of people who need to wait at our front door.
Yeah.
And so we need to get them in so we can make that connection with them.
Explain that. Before we get to the medical or anything else, you guys own houses.
We do own houses. We own 45 houses that we lease.
Yeah, not just a handful.
Families.
You own a bunch.
It's a huge operation. We have two maintenance guys, and we probably need four more.
Yeah.
You know? So these are 70, 80-year-old rent.
If radio doesn't work out, I'll call you.
I appreciate that. We'll put you to work. We also take volunteers, but we can talk about that later.
You got it.
You know, and so we learned that Tyler lacks affordable housing.
Mm-hmm.
And so PATH offers these homes at an affordable rate. They are not subsidized. We don't give them away. People pay rent. They sign a lease. They pay their bills. It's just at an affordable rate, about half of the fair market rate.
Mm-hmm.
Our average rent's around $525 a month for a home. We're not in an apartment complex. These are all freestanding homes that we own.
$500 something, that's a darn good rent.
It's a really good
rent. These days.
Yeah. And so, but what you get for that is not just cheap rent, because that's not who we're looking for. Everybody wants cheap rent. We are looking for families who want that affordable rent, but because they're ready to make a change in their life. It is a transitional housing program. So we have folks come to us all the time who say, I don't know what else to do, but I know I don't want to live from paycheck to paycheck like I grew up living, but I don't have anybody to go to. And so we have case managers who come and work alongside those families, one-on-one case management, to help them learn skills that they didn't have that will move them beyond needing affordable rent.
Are your case managers finding a real lack of skills out there in terms of managing your money, balancing a checkbook, et cetera?
That is the number one
thing. God, does that sound antique, saying balancing a checkbook?
These people don't know what a checkbook is,
right? Really?
You know, and so what the number one thing that they all have in common is they need financial literacy education. Mm-hmm. And so we partner with lots of financial banks who come in, volunteers, who help us train these families on banking habits, saving habits, credit reports, all the things that affect your credit. And so that is the number one place that everybody starts.
How long can they stay in these houses?
So we don't have a hard deadline because we are not federally funded. So Washington and Austin, neither one tell us how to do it. We're able to do it locally. And we're not in the business of evicting anyone. But if someone is not willing to work the program, we've got 15 people waiting in line who want to move into that house. So we ideally would have someone stay in our house 2 to 3 years before they are ready to move out into either market rate rental or home ownership. And over the course of the last 14 years, PATH has graduated 25 families out of our transitional housing program into home ownership.
All right.
They own their home, and we are addressing generational poverty because those kids saw mama or mama and daddy work so hard to be able to gain that house. We're not doing the work. The families are doing the work. We're just providing them a safety net to allow them some breathing space to do it and giving them the skills that they need.
And there are a lot of mistaken. I had a conversation last week with Congressman Moran. Nice guy. But we talked about Medicaid and all of that stuff. And there are these myths out there that people are just sitting around doing nothing. Most people in this situation are working. They just don't make much.
They're not just working. They might be working more than one job in order to make ends meet, because the wage that they're paid from their job is not a living wage to be able to afford a fair market rent rate here in Tyler.
So, and you want to get them to that point, obviously.
Absolutely. That is our number one goal. That's their number one goal. Our goal is to support them in whatever success looks like to them. Whether that's, everybody doesn't want to own a home, but some people have in mind they want to live in a particular neighborhood. They want to rent a particular property. And we want to do what we can to help get them there. And we've managed to do that pretty successfully over the last 14 years with those 25 families. And we're so proud of the hard work that they put in to get to where they are.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you help them out with medical as well, don't you?
Well, you know,
medical,
so
dental, vision.
We do, thanks to some wonderful funders here in Tyler. We are able to help with getting a pair of eye exam and a pair of glasses for folks once a year. You can come and do that. We partner with about 10 dentists across town, and they provide extraction services and some restorative services as well. And then we also have a grant from Smith County that allows us to pay prescription costs for folks who don't have insurance.
Okay.
So through those three things that we do, we certainly are addressing some of the critical medical needs that we have here in Tyler.
Where do you get your caseworkers? I'm curious.
Well, we have 15 employees that work at PATH, and so we've, you know, we've gleaned the best of the best from all the other organizations that we stole them from.
Come on over here.
Yeah. But, you know, our churches come alongside us and send us volunteers. Mm-hmm. And so we have a lot of volunteers who've come from our congregations around town, as well as partnerships that we have with UT Tyler and TJC to provide interns to us.
Yeah, and from what I'm reading, you guys couldn't do what you do without volunteers.
We absolutely could not do what we do. As a matter of fact, years ago when PATH first started, Nancy Lamar learned very quickly that the week between Christmas and New Year's, PATH just has to close because we do not have the volunteers to keep our doors open. And that's the reason that we're closed during that time. It takes 64 shifts of volunteers every single week to operate at full staff.
Wow.
So we have lots of opportunities for volunteers, whether that is a one-off volunteer opportunity or you want to regularly come every Monday from 8 to 1 and volunteer with us. We can accommodate that as well.
What do you have people do? What do they volunteer for?
Yep. So in our emergency services, which is what we call right when people walk in our door, they come in, they have a need. We have a receptionist whose job it is to be friendly and greet them. That is their number one thing.
Don't go away. Don't go away. We need you.
You know, because we learned that those 20 steps from the parking lot to our front door are the hardest ones that people are going to make.
Huh.
And so once they get in our door, we want to make sure that they are treated with kindness and dignity. And even if it's not something that we can tangibly give them, we want them to leave feeling that they mattered to us. And so from our parking lot into reception and every step in between, it's so critically important, the relationship that we build with people.
And all your volunteers have to maintain that relationship with
the
clients.
That's exactly right. And it's not for everyone. And sometimes folks come in and they say, you know what, I can't be as friendly as I need to be, because people aren't always kind when they come to PATH because they're at the end of their rope.
Yeah.
And they're not angry at us. They're just angry at where they are.
Angry at life right now.
Having to ask for help, because it's hard to ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe a volunteer would rather do stocking in our food pantry where they're not necessarily interacting. Certainly something that we need help with. 140 to 150 families in our food pantry. We constantly have to restock our shelves.
Oh, yeah.
So besides the receptionist volunteer, we have caseworkers who are the ones that the folks come in and they see and they sit down one-on-one with them.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they spend five minutes with them, write a voucher, they go get groceries out of our pantry.
Right.
But maybe they spend an hour with them because that person just needed somebody to talk to. You know, people come in and they've got a cancer diagnosis or a job loss or somebody's in jail, things that we can't solve and we can't fix.
Right.
But we can certainly give them our time. We can pray with them if they wish for us to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And we can let them know that they are important to us and they matter.
Well, and depending on the person, there is, you have to swallow a lot of pride to come and ask for help.
Yes, you do.
It's sometimes one of the most difficult things to do, to say, you know, I can't handle this by myself.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if you've ever been in a position, but I have to ask younger people than me to help me with my computer all the time. And it's really hard.
That's why I have a 28-year-old daughter, yeah.
You know, and so, Sarah tells me, she said, why do you wait until you're so frustrated before you ask for help? And I think it's just our nature.
Mm-hmm.
I've not been in a position where I had to ask for help with food or a roof over my children's head. But I've done this long enough to know that the more I am more alike the folks who walk in our door than I am different from them. And it would be very hard to ask for help. And so we want to make it as easy as possible.
That's a good attitude. We all, as you say, we all need help in one way or another. You know?
Yes, we do.
For some people, it's much more basic.
Yeah, that's exactly
Okay. We've only got a minute or so left. If they want to help, if they want to get involved, number one, the fan drive right now, front and center.
Yes, lots of opportunities to get involved right now on our website at pathhelps.org. Best place to see all of that. But I want to share with you about our big PATH Week celebration. It won't be long before you'll start seeing those PATH Week signs going up all over town. And that'll let you know that September 25th at Green Acres Crosswalk, we're going to be celebrating 40 years of PATH and fundraising for the next 40 years at PATH. path. And so we want the community to show up and help us out.
Okay. Homegrown, founded by a 90-year-old lady 40 years ago. That's a great story, I'll be honest. There's a movie in that.
I think let's do it. Okay. You set it up, we'll be there.
Andrea, thank you so much.
You bet. Anytime. Happy to share with you.
And let us know how the fan drive goes when it's over.
We'll do.
We'll come back and do this again.
We'll do.
Andrea Wilson with PATH, and we thank you for being with us. This will be on our website after it airs, and we'll see you next week.
In Focus is a weekly public affairs program featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place. In Focus is produced by KTBB and the Team Sports Radio. And we thank you for listening. Join us again next week.